भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 74, The Deliverance of Sisipal at the Rajasuya Sacrifice. Text number one. Sri Sukravacha,
Sri Sukravacha,
Evam Yudhishthira Raja,
Evam Yudhishthira Raja.
Jarasandhavaram vivo,
Jarasandhavaram vivo,
Krishnasya sunubhavantham,
Krishnasya sunubhavantham,
Shrutvapita samhapravit,
Shrutvapita samhapravit,
Shri Sukruvacha,
Shri Sukruvacha,
Evam Yudhishthiro Raja,
Evam Yudhishthiro Raja,
Jarasandhavaram vivo,
Jarasandhavaram vivo,
Krishnasya sunubhavantham,
Krishnasya sunubhavantham,
Shrutva pita samabravit,
Shrutva pita samabravit.
Sri Sukra Vacha,
Sri Sukra Vacha,
Sukadevi Goswami says,
Sukadevi Goswami
says, Evam,
Evam,
thus,
thus,
Yudhishthira,
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 Rajha,
Rajha,
the king,
the king,
Jarasandhavaram,
Jarasandhavaram,
the killing of Jarasandha,
the killing of Jarasandha,
Vibho of the Almighty,
of the Almighty,
Krishnasya,
Krishnasya,
Lord Krishna,
Lord Krishna,
Cha,
Cha,
and Anubhavam,
Anubhavam,
the display of power,
the display of power,
Tam,
Tam,
that,
that,
Shrutva,
Shrutva,
hearing of, Ritaha,
Ritaha,
pleased,
pleased,
Tam,
Tam,
him,
him.
Abravit,
Abravit,
he addressed. Sukadevi Goswami said, having thus heard of the killing of Jarasandha and also of Almighty Krishna's wonderful power, King Yudhishthira addressed the Lord as follows with great pleasure. Text number two. Sri Yudhishthira Vacha Yeshustray Lokya Kuravaha Sarve Lokya Maheshwaraha Avahanti Duravam Labdva Shirasai Vanulasasanam. Sri Yudhishthira said, all the exalted spiritual masters of the three worlds, together with the inhabitants and rulers of the various planets, carry on their heads your command, which is rarely obtained. Purport. Srila Prabhupada renders Maharaj Yudhishthira's statement as follows. My dear Krishna, O eternal form of bliss and knowledge, all the exalted directors of the affairs of this material world, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and King Indra, are always anxious to receive and carry out orders from you, and whenever they are fortunate enough to receive such orders, they immediately take them and keep them in their hearts. In this verse here, this story, of course, these few chapters are all related. Several chapters, actually. just some little other chapters with other episodes in between, but several chapters building up to this Rajasuya Yajna performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, where he utilizes the wealth of the world to perform a ceremony principally for the glorification of the Supreme Lord and for the service of the Supreme Lord. So it's interesting that in the previous chapter, Krishna has spoken to the kings who were captured by Jarasandha, and there were some very strong words about being very careful about being bewildered by opulence, which gives one a sense of power. And of course the word Sri is used, but opulence of course doesn't just mean wealth. There are many different forms of opulence. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a pastime where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his students informed him that this great Digvijaya, great pundit, scholar, who had defeated all the scholars throughout India, all the great scholars, was coming to Navadvip to defeat all the scholars there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that he had received the blessings of Sarasvati, and because of that he had certainly had great knowledge, but that had made him proud. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that actually he gave it a very nice verse saying that trees bearing fruits and those with knowledge, those with humility, they both, bow down low. You see that the nature of the tree, when it bears its wonderful fruits, it naturally hangs low. And similarly, a Vaishnava, when they develop all wonderful qualities, they also naturally become very humble. That is a symptom that they actually have nice qualities. If the humility is not there, then the humility is the essential point of knowledge and good qualities. Very, very important. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of course pointed out that is there anyone in this world whose pride has not been smashed? There's no one. Everyone. Anyone who becomes proud, no matter who they are, everyone gets smashed. So he says, is there anyone? Can you tell me if there's anyone who becomes proud and doesn't get smashed? So then he actually quoted that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where we heard the other day where personalities like Haihaya and the Husa and Narakasura and these personalities, they become puffed up with their opulence and fell from high positions. But the interesting thing is that when he quoted that verse, he said it in a different way. He referred to them as great Digvijayas. So he wasn't referring to their, when he used the word Sri, he was using it in another sense, that they had opulence, but they also had great knowledge, because many of them were very learned. So when we talk about people being puffed up with, it's not just wealth, and we should also remember that Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, is meant for the devotees. We don't see the non-devotees flocking, getting up early in the morning, especially this time of the year, or to speak of any time of the year, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, how they are the ruled by their opulence and what have you. You know, these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, they're meant for the devotees, particularly. Generally, when we preach to the non-devotees, we preach Bhagavad Gita. The Srimad Bhagavatam is, you know, some special nectar for the devotees, special instruction for the devotees. So, when Krishna was speaking to the kings, be very, very aware, aware of, becoming intoxicated by those things that give you a sense of power. So it's not just money. It can be knowledge, it can be position, it can be beauty, it can be strength, it can be our youth. Anything, you know, that all comes under that category of opulence. Our good birth. If we become puffed up with any of those things and intoxicated by it, because all those things are intoxicating. As we know, if you take some alcohol, you become inebriated, you lose your sobriety. So therefore, in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna quotes that verse, or speaks, Dehina shmin yitha dehe yogam kovaram yira yitha dehantara prapti diras tatran yitha. That a sober person is not bewildered by, his situation in the material body. They're sober. And Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, they're sober. Why are they sober? Because they can see the actual situation. They understand they're a spirit soul. They can see the super soul, the Supreme Lord, and they can see how, the workings of the material energy. So a devotee has a different vision. Of the world, they can see those things, and it becomes very sobering. Even recently, I was spoken to different people. You give them a little bit of Krishna conscious knowledge, and they become very depressed because just that little bit of knowledge, and they think, "Oh, I can't enjoy anymore. Even if I try, because now I know that I'm an illusion." I had a friend in New Zealand who was a devotee for many, many years, and he was depressed because I can't enjoy the material world, because once you've given that knowledge, I'm an illusion. So I'm taking suffering as happiness. So that knowledge sobers people up very quickly. You're in a world of birth and death. That's a very sobering thought. So Krishna is speaking this to everyone, but the devotees also, we shouldn't be thinking that, oh, he's speaking to these, materialistic kings or what have you. That's meant for the non-devotee. It's meant for us. Anything that makes us proud, intoxicated with a sense of power, leads then to bondage and fall down into the material world. So the interesting thing there is that the Acharyas sort of point out that, or actually Srila Prabhupada points out in the Krishna book, that when he begins the sentence by saying, if one is not Krishna conscious, then one has to beware of, the bewildering, intoxicating influence of, opulence and what have you, that can cause bondage and, entrapment, victimization, he calls it, by the material energy. But it's that very first sentence that can almost be missed, because there's so much emphasis on, the danger of opulence. We might think, oh, let's, everyone, keep any opulence, or, we'll just live like hermits and, have no possessions. Now, one might think that is too dangerous. But actually, that was the first installment of Krishna's mercy. explaining that to the kings. But then, as we see, Krishna then reinstated those kings in their opulent positions. Now you are kings again. So after telling them, beware of opulence, he then allows them to be opulent kings again. Because the key factor, the danger is not the opulence, the danger is the lack of Krishna consciousness. And if we have Krishna consciousness, then we can use everything in the service of the Lord. And actually, this is very much demonstrated then by how Maharaj Yudhisthira gets immense opulence. Opulence that we cannot conceive of, and utilizes it without the slightest bewilderment, without it being entangled in any reactions at all, because he is Krishna conscious. So the danger that Krishna is pointing out is, you know, not that we should be fearful of opulence or any sort of knowledge, beauty, wealth, anything like that. We should be fearful of not being Krishna conscious, because then those things are very dangerous. But if you are Krishna conscious, then the example is given, like the snake whose fangs have been removed. You know, it looks scary, but for a devotee, there is no real bite. So that is the mood of this pastime. And we see with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that this was one of the standout features of his contribution to teaching and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur showed us that he specifically concentrated on those verses in Nectar Devotion, that if you use the word chaga or renunciation, it carries the sense of giving something up which is enjoyable, right? Chaga, renunciation, or austerities, we're giving up, sacrificing that which is enjoyable. But for a devotee, they see everything not as something for them to enjoy, but they see everything as something for the Lord to enjoy. And therefore, it should not be given up. It should be accepted on behalf of the Lord and offered to the Lord. With the festival we see last night, Snani Yatra, where we offer so much opulence, worship to Lord Jagannath. And it teaches the people in general, as well as devotees as well, that all that opulence, it can be utilized and should be utilized for the Lord. And then no one became implicated in karma by offering Lord Jagannath a conch full of beautiful nectar. Rather, everyone becomes blissful and happy. Okay. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he preached that if we can spread Krishna consciousness in a more effective way by using automobiles, then let us use automobiles, let us use vehicles. Technology, printing presses. Actually, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made a very interesting point, and that is that although the non-devotees sort of create all the machinery, technological equipment, aeroplanes, cars, although they're creating them, he says that they're actually, this is Krishna's arrangement, so that the devotees can use them. They're actually meant for the devotees. They're creating them, but they're actually meant for the devotees. Krishna is arranging things by his will so that according to the time, place and circumstance, Krishna consciousness can spread without any impediment. So we see that actually just before the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, if you look up the history of printing presses, they were basically just about kicking off at the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, just before then. So in other words, when the Krishna conscious acharyas had established the Krishna conscious philosophy in written form and had established it throughout India and established various preaching methods, and then at the time when it was ready to go overseas to other countries for the first time, then printing presses became manifest, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura immediately took advantage of it and sent that book, The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which has a synopsis of the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and describes the 10 principal, Dasamula Tattva, the 10 principal elements of Vaishnava philosophy in a nutshell. So he sent that to Canada, I think. And then we see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, of course, also took advantage of the printing presses. And by the time Srila Prabhupada was actually in the Western country, printing presses had developed to the point where Srila Prabhupada could literally print books in all the languages of the world, but in the millions. Now that was unheard of before. So you can see, a devotee sees that everything in this world is actually meant for Krishna's enjoyment, and Krishna is arranging such things, everything in a way that his will be done. So therefore, devotees, we see here with the kings, they got Krishna's mercy. Sometimes we hear devotees say that everything is Krishna's mercy, which is true in a sense, but Krishna's mercy comes in installments. So in other words, there are increasing installments of Krishna's mercy. To give an example, we may have a child. Now, we might want that child to sit down and study a particular, their lesson for the day. So we're teaching them something, and passing those teachings on is really, the mercy, the compassion of the parent. So then the child doesn't want to study. He or she wants to run around and go crazy. So the first installment of the parent is to chastise the child and make them, realise the reality of the situation. Now, you must sit down and study. So we might say, yes, that is Krishna's mercy. But in saying that is Krishna's mercy, we have to understand that's the beginning of Krishna's mercy. It's not where it finishes. In other words, Krishna's mercy doesn't mean that everyone just gets chastised. There's something that comes after that. So then when the child is sitting, then the parent teaches the child the lesson, and then even further the parent will help that child to develop those skills in life you know, throughout the course of time, and then to, you know, utilize them in a very, very effective way for the benefit of themselves and everyone else. So, similarly, we use the term Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy is, as I said, sometimes it's wrongly stated, everything is Krishna's mercy, but we should understand that Krishna's mercy, if we get the full mercy of Krishna, what will happen? What will happen if you actually get Krishna's full mercy? What is the result? No, that's different. Even more than that. You go to the spiritual world. That's Krishna's mercy. Right? Krishna is not going to stop, you know, until you get back to the spiritual world. That's Krishna's mercy. A little chastisement here and there, that is Krishna's mercy, but it's not the full Krishna's mercy. Krishna's full mercy is, you know, he takes you back to the spiritual world. That is a full installment of Krishna's mercy. And similarly, you know, the spiritual master here, this nice verse here, is describing how even demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, personalities in this world that, you know, we cannot imagine, and all the acharyas, Haridas Thakur, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, our current spiritual masters, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, they took the instructions, the will of Krishna, that to take everyone back to Godhead, within their hearts, as a great pleasure, that if they can, Krishna is trying to distribute his mercy, and especially in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mercy just overflows without restriction. You know, the unlimited, magnanimous mercy of Krishna becomes fully manifested in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the acharyas, they want to see that everyone gets some of that nectar, some of that mercy, which means that they want them to go back to Godhead. So the mercy of the acharyas is that they want everyone to get Krishna's full mercy. So if a devotee is saying that's Krishna's mercy, they should be thinking, this is Krishna's mercy, there's a little bit of installment, I'm passing, it's coming down through the chain of acharyas from Krishna, through my humble self, here is some small installment, but there is so much more to come. Actually, Srila Prabhupada describes that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when they take a disciple, when someone comes to them and actually takes shelter of them, then they make that vow, that promise, to take that soul back to the spiritual world. And if a spirit soul somehow strays away, so the Prabhupada says that spiritual master very much laments their inability to deliver that soul. And he says sometimes they cry. And he gave the example of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who he'd actually given sannyas to one disciple, and then he fell away from that, and the circumstances, and his disciples noticed that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was shedding tears, and he was making statements that, you know, because of my inability to deliver him, you know, so he was lamenting. You know, that's the, you know, the wonderful, you know, because he is taking the order of Krishna as his life and soul. I have failed Krishna. You know, Krishna is delivering his mercy to take these conditioned souls back to Godhead. So I want to serve Krishna. So I want to help these conditioned souls go back to Godhead. And, you know, when I see a conditioned soul, you know, who somehow comes to take shelter and then wanders off, then they lament their inability to serve Krishna properly. Actually, Srila Prabhupada makes a very interesting statement that I think it was Umapati who had strayed away from the movement, and he said, while you were gone, when she came back, he said, you know, I was thinking of you every day. To another disciple, he said, again, when they came back, he said, actually, sometimes disciples think that they have left ISKCON. He said, but that is not possible, because I am thinking of them always, and therefore they cannot leave. So, you know, this is the mood of the you know, this is actually the Vaishnava mood. They're decorated with all the wonderful qualities, and they're happy. You know, a Vaishnava is happy to serve Krishna under any circumstances. They don't care what the service is. They don't care whether they're getting credit for the service or not getting credit. They don't care whether it is, you know, there is no such thing really as a menial service if you're serving God. And Srila Prabhupada often pointed out that, you know, there is no difference between, you know, cleaning. You know, we see sometimes devotees, they clean in the temple room and do all sorts of services. There's no difference between doing that and sweeping in the courtyard. It is absolute. If a devotee, in fact, sometimes if a devotee is in the deity room in not very good consciousness, which happens, and yet a devotee is out in the courtyard, blissfully, you know, anything Krishna, anything, you know, whatever you want, sweeping away the leaves, a bit of dust, that devotee is better situated because they're Krishna conscious and they're not looking for any sort of gross or subtle remuneration, you know, from the service, and they just want to carry Krishna's order, anything they can do at all. You know, for a devotee, the worst, you know, fear that they could have, the worst nightmare, is that somehow or another, they would not be able to serve Krishna. You know, it's a terrible thought. You know, a devotee would, you know, let me clean the toilets, you know, let me you know, do anything. But please, Krishna, don't ever, you know, let me leave the shelter of the lotus feet. That's actually the mood of a devotee. They carry the order of Krishna, you know, service because they love Krishna. It was one of the things. Actually, you know, I was very impressed with the devotees who came with Shalindra Jumaswami Maharaj, and I was just very impressed, you know, how they were able to use beauty, opulence, you know, fame, yogic abilities. You know, we all know we shun, we don't, you know, really take to yogic processes. And they use yoga, you know, in hatha yoga, in the service of Krishna. So we don't fear any of those things. If somehow or another you can utilize something in the service of Krishna. And I was also very impressed that, you know, just the way they moved around the temple, everything they did, whether they were taking prasadam, whether they were, you know, giving classes, whether they were leading kirtans, whether they were, you know, driving down, you know, going downtown on the tram, everything I know, I watched them, and they all took such pride, you know, that yes, let me serve Krishna through the acharyas. And you know, so when devotees do that, of course, they develop. You can see that a devotee who has that desire automatically they develop the good qualities. They automatically become detached from the material world. You know, they're just so attached to their service, to Krishna, to Guru, to the Vaishnavas, there's just no room left for attachment for anything else. They don't have to practice detachment from the material world separately. There's just no time left, there's no room left in their heart. Nor do they have to practice humility or tolerance because, you know, as a separate issue, they're just, that love just, you know, whatever has to be done, you know, let me do that and I will tolerate anything, just let me, you know, not be deviated from the service. And therefore they become very tolerant and humble. And actually Srila Prabhupada says that if you want to be Krishna conscious, if you want to be protected from becoming intoxicated by you know, the material energy, then chant 16 rounds offenselessly. Srila Prabhupada said that a couple of places. That's very, very important. Chant Hare Krishna, chant your 16 rounds, but chant offenselessly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the very, very important verse, Trinada Pisa Nichanata Lorda Pisa Hishana. Amanina Manadina Kiritanya Sada Hari. The one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. Now, when Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur comments upon that, he describes, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also commenting on that verse, he is saying, in that verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the instruction how to chant offenselessly. So when a devotee develops that chant in that humble state of mind, they're able to chant offenselessly. And without humility, there is no question of chanting offenselessly. So, you see that though, in devotees who are, you know, very eager to please Krishna, they want to do the service nice, they want to do the service and they want to do it offenselessly, and therefore they have humility. I got a very nice demonstration of that, again, from my spiritual master, Srila Indrajindra Swami. Daily they were going down, either on Harinam or, you know, they did intend to go to the festivals also on the tram, but of course the rain set in, so they ended up having to take cars. But on one day we went out for Harinam and it was a very, very hot day. I don't know if you remember that, it was just before the rain. It was really, really hot. And we waited down at the tram stop for about 45 minutes. Because what had happened is that there were a couple of accidents and therefore a couple of trams didn't get through. Finally a tram got through, and so when we got on the tram, everyone, you know, the tram was packed because so many people had missed, you know, the previous trams. Everyone was on one tram, so we got on and we managed to get a seat for Srilendra Jumna Swami and maybe one or two people, and we all stood up and we were really squished in. And on the next stop, tram stops, and a lady gets on with two little girls, you know, about this big. And as soon as the girl gets on, she sort of got on, she sort of looked to the side, and, you know, she's obviously disappointed. She looked sort of towards Indrajumna Swami, that was the nearest seat, obviously a bit disappointed, you know, here. And immediately Srila Indrajumna Swami, he said, do you want to sit where I'm sitting? And she said, yes. And so he immediately got up and she took the seat, and then the devotee beside him got up as well, and then so the mother and the two kids managed to squeeze into that seat. And you know, when the people in the tram saw that, you could see their hearts melted. You know, they just fell in love with him. And so people just started talking to him. So all the way down, you know, he was talking, you know, Krishna consciousness, and you know, to one person standing there, you know, like that. And then they would get off, and then someone else would come along and talking to that person, like that. And I was watching the devotees. All the devotees on that tram, they were like in Vaikuntha. They were just in bliss. You know, they're just so much enjoying, you know, being in the association of Vaishnavas, having the service to Krishna, you know, engaged in the service to Krishna. And that was just like in Vaikuntha. And that Vaikuntha mood sort of spread throughout the tram. But I don't know if otherwise, if you've ever been on a hot tram that's full of people, it's not Vaikuntha. You know, everyone's looking at you, sort of thinking, oh, you know. Everyone's looking at the ones in the seat, you know, when you get up. You've got the old lady standing up and the young punk sitting down, and, you know. It's a whole different mood. So, you know, just the good qualities of the devotees just turn that tram into this little, what they call it, vimala, you know, those, we're almost like on a flower aeroplane, you know, cruising down to, you know, the city. So, you know, the Vaishnavas, we shouldn't use that word too loosely either. You know, sometimes we call ourselves Vaishnavas, but it's only when we, you know, look at the lives of those who are actually Vaishnavas, especially the Acharyas, that we should be a little embarrassed, really, to give ourselves that label sometimes. Once Srila Prabhupada was talking with his disciples, and of course Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say something, and then his devotees would, you know, sometimes counter-argue or, you know, different things. So Srila Prabhupada made some statement. A devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, Vaishnavas, and he immediately interrupted. Vaishnavas? Now this devotee was his disciple and, you know, pretty well situated. Vaishnavas? You are not a Vaishnava. You'll fall down at the drop of a hat. You know, just to make the point, to be very careful of proudly, you know, claiming, you know, Vaishnava. Like that, because the Vaishnava, the actual Vaishnava, we should study the lives of these Vaishnavas. We should study the lives of, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, all our Acharyas and their associates, and, you know, those within ISKCON currently who are developing the actual Vaishnava qualities. And, you know, that is manifest by, you see, that just desire that any service I can do for Krishna, there's no false ego. Not that, you know, I want to do the services where I'll be seen by a lot of people. I want to do the services where I'll be known as a great Vaishnava. I want to do the services where I can express my, you know, people can realize how much knowledge I have. You know, I want to do this service, you know. A Vaishnava is not like that. Actually, Srila Prabhupada gives the definition of a Vaishnava. He says a Vaishnava is one who can sit down anywhere at any time and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And the only thing that they ask for is a little prasadam. And if at the end of the day, there's somewhere I can lay down, and whatever service I can do for Krishna, bus. That's it. That's a Vaishnava. Sit down anywhere. When we can do that, when we can, you know, whatever the circumstances, doesn't matter what's happening in our life, if we can sit down and we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and we're completely satisfied because we're serving Krishna. We know that our spiritual master has asked us to chant Hare Krishna, and we're chanting Hare Krishna. All the Acharyas are happy. Krishna is happy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is happy. All we're doing is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And we are happy because we know that Krishna will be happy. Krishna is completely satisfied with us. We don't have to be, develop some big name as a Vaishnava in order to become a Vaishnava. What we actually have to to is to learn how to sit and chant Hare Krishna and be happy and satisfied at that. And not make demands on anyone, you know, not always making so many demands. Just be very, very grateful. I have this opportunity to serve Krishna. And I am unqualified practically to do anything else, but Krishna is so kind that he has allowed me just to sit here and chant Hare Krishna, and he is completely satisfied with that. And if I can do that, the Acharyas have said, if I can chant Hare Krishna, follow the four regulative principles, so chant Hare Krishna properly, I'll go back to Godhead. And that's a very nice thought. Srila Prabhupada says, you know, for a devotee, that is a huge part of their happiness. They know they're going back to Godhead. Sometimes, a traveller, they're travelling, and, you know, there's some inconveniences, but they know that they're going home. They've been on the road a long, long time. You know, but now they're going home. And so they don't really mind. There's a sense of satisfaction, a sense of happiness, a sense of eagerness like that. That's the happiness of a devotee. So, this Krishna consciousness, we should first understand what Krishna consciousness is. It is not some artificial platform of renunciation. Sometimes devotees think, you know, I'm a big Vaishnava because I've given up this, I've given up that. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, what are we looking? Yes, but what have you offered to Krishna? No one cares about what you've given up. What are you giving to Krishna? If you can renounce something, perform some austerity in the course of giving something to Krishna, that is very applaudable. But if we're just performing renunciation, giving up things which can actually be used in the service of Krishna, that is what the Acharyas call as incomplete, or what's the other word? It's artificial renunciation. So first, you know, we have to understand, as the king understood, that is the first lesson, there is no happiness in the material world. First become convinced about that, and then from that platform you can actually become Krishna conscious. And becoming Krishna conscious, learn from the Acharyas how to use everything in the service of the Lord. In a purport, there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada describes that you can even use nuclear weapons in the service of the Lord. They were doing that in the Battle of Kurukshetra, so, you know, that's not an outlandish statement. In the Brahmastas, so it should be. They were more powerful. Krishna used nuclear. Krishna, when he, you know, sent his Sudarshan Chakra to kill the king of Kashi, Srila Prabhupada describes that chakra, you know, just smashed everything, and it was more devastating than, you know, like a bombing raid, you know, nuclear bombs and what have you. Very, very powerful. So we can use everything in the service of Krishna, and by doing that, we have no, you know, need to fear becoming entangled in the reaction or entangled in, you know, illusion. The main point is to become Krishna conscious. These points of giving things up, they're secondary. That's not the main thing. The main thing is to become Krishna conscious. And if you become Krishna conscious, you can use everything in the service of the Lord, and that which can't be used in the service of the Lord, you have no interest in anyway. So that is our Krishna consciousness philosophy. And this is something which is very, very strongly established, especially by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in his preaching. And he was, you know, it was caused such a major outlaw. People wanted to kill him, you know, for his, style of preaching. But he was called the Simha Guru, the Lion Guru. You know, he was fearless. They wanted to kill him. You know, they wanted everything to be, all these very strict rules and regulations, you know, That you know, traditionally a sannyasi should not even go overseas. But you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said they should not leave the land of Bharat. He wanted to send them all over the world. Okay. So you know, he established this very important principle about Krishna consciousness, and he risked his life to establish that. One time I saw a devotee up in Sydney. He was chanting Gayatri, and when he was chanting, he was, you know, like that, and he's, you know, talking to people. And I said, "Do you know that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, you know, risked his life? People wanted to kill him so you could chant that Gayatri." You know, because he said to me, "Oh, it's just the," you know, after I said, "You should, you know, sit and chant your Gayatri properly." He said, "Oh, it's just the Gayatri." You know, I'm thinking, "What? Just the Gayatri?" You know, hundreds of years of acharyas. They wanted to kill them all just there, you know, fighting so you could chant that Gayatri. You know, so we should never forget this contribution by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. We should not, you know, just you know, think, well, you know, oh, gee, that was what, you know, a couple of hundred years ago, or 150 years ago, or something. You know, who's interested now? We should never do that. You know, they gave their very life, and this is something again which we learn from the acharyas, is that each and every one of us, we should somehow try to make some contribution before we die to the spreading of Krishna consciousness, no matter how humble. Some contribution. Sometimes devotees see different problems in ISKCON, and I always say to them the same thing: if you see a problem in ISKCON, then somehow Krishna has given you some intelligence, therefore you spend the rest of your life and you fix that problem. Make some, don't just wander off criticizing, oh, you know, this one. If there's something, you know, it's a very young movement, of course there's going to be some difficulty. You're taking Krishna consciousness, you know, into the world of people who, you know, just completely immersed in sense gratification, and then occasionally some of us, like myself, become devotees. Because I'm going to cause problems. So, you know, we have to, you know, if there is some difficulty, make some contribution. I see some problem here, let me dedicate the rest of my life, and if I can just fix that one little problem, I will have done something, and I carry that, you know, order, that service of the Lord, you know, within my heart as my greatest treasure. So, I'll just leave it there. If anyone has any comments or questions. So the Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati.
You mentioned that we should not be fearful of others, but be fearful that we are not Krishna consciousness. So how not to be regretted by offenses and we find the Krishna consciousness?
Say it again, how?
How not to be regretted by your offenses while we are aspiring to be Krishna consciousness?
To chant Hare Krishna, to chant 16 good rounds. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. That's the exact answer, you know, if you don't, to not be bewildered, because we're coming from a bewildered platform, and a lot of us haven't quite left that. It's almost like we say, be careful of falling down, we're already fallen, you know, some of myself. But, you know, to actually make advancement, to get out of that illusion, and to stay fixed on the platform of Krishna consciousness, that is the key. Chant 16 rounds in a humble state of mind. You know, practice humility. Humble state of mind. You know, we understand I'm this tiny, 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 you know, little spirit soul, and I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. I'm the servant of everyone. Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji used to say, I'm all alone in my service to the Lord in this material world. I'm all alone, because he was thinking, I am the servant of everyone. In that sense. Any other questions? Any ladies? Any questions about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati? compliments.
Yeah. Would you like to summarize how we get 100% mercy of God?
100% mercy. Wait, you know, stick it out for each installment. If you want the 100%, Krishna will give you some installment now. Just be around in the future when he gives you the next installment, and you'll gradually get the 100%. If someone wanders off, you know, actually, again, Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji was asked that. He said, sometimes we see that people come and they take association of very advanced devotees, you know, and they were particularly meaning Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji himself, and yet they somehow, again give up the process of Krishna consciousness and become entangled. So why is that? And his answer was, because they leave the shell of the Vaishnavas too early. You have to give some time. But it's guaranteed. If you have a bona fide spiritual master, and Srila Prabhupada used the formula for guaranteed success. One, you have to have a bona fide spiritual master. Two, you approach him submissively. You ask questions, so you're not just blindly following. And you practice, gradually learn the process of surrender. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual process. If you do those things, it is guaranteed success. But if people leave a little early before the results come, for instance, to give an example, when we were at the festival with Shilendra Jumnaswamy, when they did the festival up north, people didn't pay, evidently. They put it on as a free concert, a free event. So people would come in and they would see one or two acts, some of the build-up acts, realise it was the Hare Krishnas, and they would leave. But here, because people paid, well, those couple left, they all stayed because they wanted to get their money's worth. But because they stayed, there's a difference between leaving after the second act and leaving after the final act. It really sinks in after a while, if you get the full nectar. So it's like that, if you leave after the second act, without getting the next installment of mercy, then you've done yourself a great injustice. You haven't seen the whole show, and that's the problem. So you just stick around, and to stick around means that we have to be humble. We have to learn how to sit and chant Hare Krishna. That okay, no matter what happens, I'm happy because I can just sit here and chant Hare Krishna. There's nothing that can stop that. In fact, everyone wants us to chant Hare Krishna. So, if we learn how to do that, sit and chant Hare Krishna, you can guarantee you'll be here right to the end. It's a real secret, but it's an open secret. But if we don't learn to sit and chant Hare Krishna and be happy, then there's always disturbance in this world. And something may take us away before the full mercy of Krishna comes.
When you said about the people that paid for the concert, how they stayed in the whole concert, I don't know an example of that where my mother, I've been giving her all these books, and she's always saying, I've got no time to read them and stuff like that. But one time I got her to buy a book.
Right.
And she
read it. Actually, we used to give away in the beginning. We used to give away a huge amount of books, the small books and the BTGs. We did that for many, many years, and more we found that they were being thrown on the street, put in the rubbish. People weren't reading. We started paying for the same thing. They started taking interest. So it is again. Sometimes people may criticize us that we're asking them for money. for different things when they come to the Hare Krishna temple, and yet strangely enough, it gives them more interest in taking full advantage when they're here, because they've given some of their hard-earned money. So we're actually doing them a big favour. That's a very nice statement. Yeah. Mm. I'll just repeat that for the microphone. People will hear it at home, just in case they didn't hear it. You're saying, who is this woman?
Chandramouli Maharaj.
Yes. You're saying that if you're looking for happiness in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you won't find it in the material world. And if you're looking for happiness in the material world, you won't find it in the Hare Krishna Mantra. Yeah, that's a nice way to finish, Jai. All glory to the Prabhupada.